I'm sorry about last week. Well, Baruch Hashem, we're back this week. Okay, and we missed last week, so we wouldn't have a choice. That's what can we do? So you had a Purim shir last week, so it wasn't a Chumash shir. But today we're continuing. Remember what we did 2 weeks ago was we were learning the brachos, the special blessings of Bilam, and we did the second set. Oh, Hannah, good morning. Nice to see you. Good morning. Good to see you. Yes, so welcome back. okay, so yes, yeah, so today we're in the we did read the psukim of the second brachas. We will review a little bit because we're going to go more in depth and we're going to see, I think, some beautiful, beautiful lessons. And as I say always, even though this is from so many years ago, it just amazing how it also applies to now. It's like incredible. Everything is like talking to us today, as if it was written for us today. So we'll see some beautiful, beautiful lessons. As we said with this second set of brachis, that these brachis are even more beautiful than the first in a certain sense, where Hashem is expressing the uniqueness of the Jewish people, how we are different than everybody else, and therefore we definitely cannot be cursed, because all he wanted to do was to curse us, and instead blessings came out. That's another thing to keep in mind, that the theme underlying all of the blessings is that they were intended to be curses. So whatever he's saying, you can imagine the opposite. You know, that's what he wanted to say. So whatever he says is because Hashem is sort of almost compelling him to change his words, and out comes these beautiful brachas. So in this set, as we saw, Hashem is showing how special, how unique we are, not only because of our forefathers, that's what we saw in the first set, and how we stand on such good roots and such good beginnings, but even us in and of ourselves, we are special. We have a special connection to Hashem, and that's what we're going to see here, a unique special connection that is unconditional, and therefore we are not able to be cursed, so to speak. We have this extra protection that ensures that we are here forever, as we can see until today. Okay, despite what other people would love that we shouldn't be. Okay, so let's see like this. I want to just show you what we'll do is, I know we've read the psukim, but if you look at your top booklet, so on page 294, look at page 294 for a minute. I just want to very, very quickly, because it was already 2 weeks ago, so very, very quickly we'll go in order now and go in depth. Let's share the screen. We go, okay, 294, and yeah, okay. Very good, here we are. Sorry, let's just have to share it here, okay. Okay, so here, as you can see, so Bilam is standing next to Balak, and Bilam is, out comes the words from his mouth. So as he says, right away in the first one, remember we said that Hashem is not a man, lo ish kel vayichazev, that he should be deceitful, uven adam vayisnache, nor a human being, that he should relent, and as we said, hahu amar v'lo yase, would he say and not do? V'diber v'lo yakimena, we have to read it as a question. Would he say and not do, or speak and not confirm? So in other words, we have all the tremendous things that Hashem already blessed us and promised us. And obviously, even Bilam, who has all his magical powers, cannot interfere with Hashem's plan. If Hashem has already promised, it will unfold the way he promised. And then he says, Hine barech lakachti, behold, to bless have I received, and therefore, because I received blessing, uveirach v'lo yashivena, he has blessed and I shall not retract it. So in other words, if, as he says, even though you hired me to curse, I can't curse, because Hashem has already instructed and made sure and ensured that this is a blessed nation, and that whatever is going to come out of my mouth will be blessing. Now, we're going to go into the next pasuk more in depth. Lo hibit oven biyakov. Now, we read this pasuk, and he says, he perceived no iniquity. Iniquity means sin, deficiency in Jacob. We're talking about how God views us. Lo ra'a amol biyisrael, and saw no perversity. Again, no mistakes, no deficiency, no sins amongst the Jewish people, because we're explaining why is it that even if Bilam wants to curse, he cannot curse. Why is that? Because Hashem doesn't see bad in us. It's like a parent who, as we mentioned, doesn't see bad in his child. And as we said, there was two ways to look at this. The way Unkulus says is, Hashem looked but he didn't find any fault. He didn't even see any faults. But Rashi says even a little bit more, that even if there is fault, he doesn't scrutinize. He doesn't look for the fault. You know, when it's somebody else, we're quite quick to criticize. But when it's our own and we love them, we see it with rose-colored glasses and we don't notice all the deficiencies, as we said. We're going to see that in a minute more in depth, what this means and what kind of beautiful lesson we can learn from that. I just want to finish the pasuk. And therefore, because of that, as it says on page 296, because he doesn't see any iniquity and any sin and any negativity, and he doesn't, even if he sees it, he doesn't scrutinize it, Hashem Eleikav Imay, Hashem, his God, is with him. Utruas melechbay, and the friendship of the king is in him. Remember we said the word trua, although that reminds us of a different word. Trua is like the blowing of the shofar, right? But here we're explaining it as the word re'acha. You know, v'yahavta l're'acha. A re'a is a friend. Hashem is our friend, or we are his friend. It goes both ways. And that's what it also says. If we connect to him, if we consider him to be, so to speak, our friend, well then, he is our friend back, and he doesn't see negativity, just like when we have a friend. That's what a friend means. A friend means somebody who you don't scrutinize their faults. Interesting is that, as we saw, the word trua, though, also does mean the blowing of the shofar. So where does that come in here? How does that connect to the fact that Hashem doesn't see our faults or remains connected and therefore I can't curse? So we say the word trua means a few things. First of all, we all know that when the Jewish people, fascinating thing, when the Jewish people used to go to war in times of old, well, this wasn't just the Jewish people, all people, they would blow trumpets, right? That was the way it was, like the war cry, you know, the war call. And we had actually a prescribed way of blowing with the trumpets that they had actually in the desert. They had trumpets made out of silver. They would have a certain way that they would blow it, and that would be like a war cry, so to speak, right? And interestingly enough, what it meant for us is, what was the idea? What we were meant to realize is that before we go into war, that we are not going on our own. We're going with Hashem's strength. On our own, we're just a weak nation. We're a small nation. We're not, that our strength is not in our physical power. We know that as a Jew, what's special? It's our intellect, our talents, our kindness, all those other things. The things that we want to make the world a better place. But it's definitely not our physical strength. That's not where the Jews stand out. So how do we go to war? We go to war using the trua. And the trua is this sound that reminds us that Hashem is our re'acha. Hashem is our friend. And you know the trua sound? Remember the shofar has a few sounds. That's the broken one. That's the one that's broken, you know? So that's the real brokenness. When we come realizing that we are coming only because we have Hashem with us, in other words, not with arrogance, with a sense of brokenness, a sense of humility, that's when we are successful. And we see that through the generations, and we see that even in our own lives. Obviously, there's the global wars, but then there's our own different things that we have to... Good morning, Jenny. Good morning. No, all good. So we have our own struggles that we have to fight with. We can't do it on our own. Sometimes they're way too big for us. We come with Hashem's strength if we have humility. As long as we admit that we can't do it on our own, that's a big part. Sometimes we have no choice. We have to admit, even if we don't want to, because it's too big for us. But we do. Anyways, and then we go on and we say, Truas Melechbay also gives us another beautiful reminder, and this gives us hope. When we talk about Hashem not seeing our sins or our deficiencies, it gives us the hope to realize that at the end of the day, and that's what we're all waiting for, to hear the big trua. What's the big trua? That's the sound of Mashiach. We know that when Mashiach will come, there will be a big shofar. We all saying, Yitaka b'shofar gadol, right? This big shofar sound will come. And that's what it's alluding to also. The hope that we live with as Jews throughout the generations, knowing that this is not an eternal exile, that definitely the suffering will end and Mashiach will come. So that's also what it's alluding to. So many different things that it alludes to. Now, before we go into the next pasuk, I just want to share, and then we're going to see some of the beautiful things inside. I heard a very beautiful few insights about this, just to go a drop deeper to understand, what does this mean that Hashem doesn't scrutinize our faults? Because the truth is, as Jews, we know Hashem loves us, it's true. And you know, parents love their children. But parents do see the children's faults at the end of the day. That's a fact, right? I mean, you know, we can say we don't, we overlook, But we do see, not only that, but we all know as Jews that we do believe in the concept that Hashem gave us certain mitzvahs to do, certain instructions, and he holds us accountable. There's an accountability. That's how Torah works. We're not, you know, people, we are responsible. You know, we believe in a sense of responsibility. We don't believe in this, I don't know, nowadays, like this absolute, so to speak, sense of freedom where you can do what you want, how you want, when you want, because you feel like it. That's not the way we live. Because we take other people into account, we take Hashem into account. So there is a sense of responsibility. So what does this mean that Hashem overlooks our deficiencies? So there's a few beautiful ways to look at it. It could be that it's talking to us. What does that mean, talking to us? So before we say talking to us, we know, as we said, we mentioned one way 2 weeks ago, but another way to look at it is when, let's say, a child or somebody that we like does something, and they do something wrong, right? We try to minimize it, even if we can't overlook it. So one of the ways we minimize it is, usually, we say they didn't really intend to hurt. They didn't really mean it that way, especially when a child says something that, and they're an adult child, and they say something that really hurts. But they didn't really, if they would have known that it would hurt you so much, they wouldn't have said it. That's what, you know, we try. We rationalize that in our minds. And we say that actually Hashem does that for us as well. He says that as a Jew, and the truth is it's not insincere, because a Jew, we know, has a godly soul. So inside, we are pure. When we do something wrong, it's only our external parts that's doing something wrong. Internally, we are still pure, we are still whole, and we still love Hashem. Just like, you know, the child does love us. They don't realize. So it's externally they do something without realizing that they're really hurting us. But it's not really representative of who they really are. So that's one way that we can say that that's why Hashem can, so to speak, overlook. What does it mean he overlooks? He just minimizes it by using this kind of idea. And one example, a cute example that they gave an analogy that, actually I heard this story as a child used in a different context, but it was a cute thing where in the old days, you know, you would, let's say, I mean, nowadays it's hung differently, but if you go into somebody's house, there was a story where a poor person went into a very wealthy man's house, and the wealthy man told him that he can go upstairs to the attic and he can take whatever clothing he wants. If he, you know, he has old clothing there, help himself. He goes up to the attic, and what does he see? He sees a lot of clothing, so he's collecting it all. Now he wants to tie it together so that he can take it home with him. So what does he do? He looks around. I mean, there's no bags, but he notices a rope. And he thought, oh, excellent. He has a knife. He's going to cut the rope, and then he can use that rope to tie the clothing. But what he didn't realize was that this rope, what was it? It wasn't just a rope laying there. It was actually that this very wealthy man had this most magnificent chandelier that was hanging on the floor below, and it was hanging because of that rope. So now he takes his thing, he cuts the rope, and we all know what happens. Boom, shatters. Now, he has no idea what he did. When he was upstairs, he didn't connect the fact that his cutting of the rope is going to cause that chandelier to smash. Now, when he comes down, this was obviously a very special rich man. Okay, he didn't get angry in the story. Why? Because he realized that this poor person had no clue, didn't make the connection between the rope and the chandelier. But it's a beautiful analogy. Hashem does that with our actions as well. When we do something wrong, Hashem says, if we would understand the ramifications of what we're doing, we wouldn't do it. And the truth is, it's true in many ways. Because even though on one level we do understand, we don't really get like the long-term negative effects, as we say sometimes when we say something negative about somebody. If we would really realize that the effect of what our words have, not only on the other person, but in the, as we say, the whole world at large, we wouldn't say it. So it's the same thing. And that's what we say when we're talking over here, that Hashem doesn't scrutinize and he doesn't see. So that's one way to look at it. Then there's another way. Other way to look at this pasuk is, we do something wrong, because we're human. That's how Hashem made us. We make mistakes. But we have to have an interesting way of living. It's sort of a double life in a way. There's one thing of how we view what we're going to do now, next, like tomorrow or today, even in the next 5 minutes. When we view our decisions of what is coming next, we have to look at ourselves as people who have a godly soul, which means that we can make good decisions. We're responsible, we're adults, we're mature, we have a seichel, and we don't act impulsively. Therefore, what we try to do is make the right decisions coming forward. However, when we reflect back and we look back at what we did 10 minutes ago, and 10 minutes ago we lost our patience or whatever it is, we did something wrong, we have to look at it a little bit differently then. Then we have to be a bit kinder to ourselves and say, I made a mistake, it's true, and I shouldn't have. Doesn't mean we have to say, it's okay, it's not okay, but we are still okay, meaning that we are still loved by God, meaning that we can still continue. And it's very, very important to think this way, because if we think back and we say, well, we did this bad thing and therefore we are not okay, what that will do actually is it will give us, in a way, almost a license to say, well, forget it. It's hopeless, right? I'm so bad. So every decision I make now doesn't make a difference anymore. You give up. You become apathetic. You become even more. You become totally discouraged. Exactly. And you don't even try. So you have to look back with kindness and forward with a little bit more severity, if you want to say, a little bit more strictness on yourself. So when we look back, we should say that Hashem doesn't see sin in us, meaning Hashem forgives us. That's what we have to realize. He does. He does forgive us, and that even though we've made mistakes, we still have the ability to do, to make correct decisions going forward. So that's loy ra'a, see, as we say, loy hibit aven b'yakev. That's another way. So that's a very important perspective. Then a little bit, if you want to say a little bit deeper, or just a different layer, if you want to say, he says like this, that when, interesting, oh, this was a very interesting one, that Hashem, as we say, doesn't look at the iniquities. He doesn't, he sort of overlooks. He looks at, if you want to say he looks, he puts on very dark sunglasses so he doesn't see clearly. But sometimes what we choose to do, and this is a problem, is that we choose to highlight the negativity in each other by talking about it. Okay, so we mentioned to, you know, so-and-so did this and this. When we do that, this is part of what this pasuk is telling us, is that even though Hashem has overlooked, when we speak about it, it almost makes it impossible for Hashem to overlook, because we're highlighting it. We're bringing it out, and that's a problem. So that's why this pasuk is actually telling us that if you want, Hashem won't look. He'll overlook. He'll miss all the negative stuff. But if you choose to highlight it, it's going to be harder for him. So that's another way. And that means both about each other and ourselves. We have to be... Lashon hara, exactly. It's a big problem. It's a big problem because, as we see, it's very interesting. It's almost like, you know, we say, well, what does it mean? Hashem has free choice. He doesn't have to listen to what we're saying. But you know what it's like? It's like, you know, there's a force of gravity in the world. So gravity is a natural force. Things fall down. Hashem actually made the world really where naturally every act has a consequence. I mean, we all know. I mean, not just a consequence, but has a reaction. Every act has a reaction. So the reaction of a negative action that we do should be that we should have something negative happen to us. That's just the natural way of the world. Just like, on a simple level, if you drink poison, I mean, you'll die, whatever, it'll hurt you, right? It's just natural. Nobody's punishing you. You chose to drink that poison, and it's going to harm you, as we all know. I mean, you eat the wrong things, and you don't feel well. So the same thing spiritually, Rona, right? Sometimes not so easy, but and we're coming up to Purim. That's the best one. The wrong thing, exactly. All the things, that, I don't know why it had to be that way. Yeah? All the good things are the wrong things. But anyways, but we say it's true. But so what do we say? We say that the truth is that it's just direct. So spiritually, the same thing. You do something wrong, so you create a negative spiritual energy, which comes before God and says, look what this person has done. Here I am. Now what can I... And this destructive force can come back to us. But if we don't talk about it, that destructive force doesn't have the same power. When we talk about it, we energize it. We give it extra battery strength. And then we're in trouble. So that's another thing to remember. It's a very, again, all these fascinating things. There's another also, another beautiful thing that the Sfas Emes explains. And this, I think, really applies to us now. As I talk to God, I say, he should look down and see. He says that, really strongly look down and see. He says that, really, the way Hashem interacts with us is, obviously, there's a concept where Hashem does take into account what we do, right? What we do matters, and therefore, if we do something correctly, we get rewarded, and if we don't do something correctly, there's a concept of whether it be consequence or punishment, whatever, however you want to look at it. But the Sfas Emes says like this, that there's a very big difference between the way Hashem supervises or scrutinizes an individual and the way he scrutinizes a group. As we know, as Jews, when we are in a group, we have a certain immunity. I guess that's the word to use. There's a certain thing that Hashem doesn't scrutinize very carefully when we are in a group. One of the simple reasons is because if you think about it, in a group, there's so much good between everybody. Even if individually we might have equal good and equal not so good, but when it comes to a whole group, well, there's going to be a lot of good there. And Hashem doesn't, he lets the good, so to speak, rise up, and he overlooks the negativity of the individual as long as they consider themselves and make themselves part of the group. But that's a big stipulation. We have to make ourselves part of the group. So if we are united as a Jewish nation, we have tremendous strength. When we are not united, we are much, much weaker, because then Hashem scrutinizes each and every one of us, and that's a little bit problematic sometimes. And you can actually see that in the words, because it says, "Lo hibit avayin biyakov, v'lo ra amal biyisrael." So it says, "Lo hibit avayin biyakov." He doesn't look at a sin in Yaakov, but he doesn't look at a sin. It sounds like it's the same thing, but the sin is he doesn't look at the sin in Yaakov. That's like the terrible sins. When we consider ourselves a Jewish nation, then he doesn't even see the inadvertent sins. He doesn't even see anything. He doesn't see like anything, even the smallest things. He doesn't even notice them. He doesn't take notice. And this is a very, very important thing. As we say, the beautiful story, you know, we have in the Navi. You remember, it was with Elisha, I think, with the prophet Elisha, with the woman that she was the widow, she didn't have anything. And then he promised her that, he asked her what she needs. And she said a very powerful statement. She said to him, "Besaych ami anoichi yosheves, I dwell amongst my people." What she was saying was, I don't want to be noticed as an individual, because if I am, then maybe Hashem will scrutinize me. Anyways, she made a miracle, and then, remember, the child died, and then she was all upset, but he brought back to life. But the point is, what she was saying was, and this was a very important message for all of us, and that's what I'm saying now, if you look in, I mean, look, again, there's a little bit of division, but we won't, you know, we'll hope and pray that it won't become more. But when we are united, we have tremendous, tremendous power. And that's something that we have to work on in ourselves. Okay, it's a very important one. And then the last thing, a very beautiful one also, was, also a beautiful one. Lohibit avein biyakov. We, as Jews, we should say, we as Yaakov, how do we look at ourselves? We look at ourselves as not having permanent sin, okay? It's a very important thing also how we reflect. We said before that we should always look forward to being able to look and make positive choices. But another thing, even when we've made lots of mistakes, we have to realize that that doesn't define us as a person. So we don't identify ourselves with our mistakes. I am not Mrs. So-and-so who makes these mistakes. When, interestingly, the way the world looks at things, almost people have a certain identity, and sometimes what happens is we feel that we have to fit into that box. Once we've created that box, that's us. And we say, as a Jew, we have the power to change all the time. This is a very important one. So we say like this, and lohibit avein biyakov, we, so if that's talking to us, we shouldn't look at our sins as permanent, and then lohira avein biyisrael, then Hashem won't judge us harshly, rather he'll look at us and say, you can change. You have the ability to make a change. This was the difference between, as we say, Avraham and Bilam, we always say. Avraham, whatever he did in his earlier life, you know, he came from idol worship, he came from a home that was terrible, his father was who knows who, and you know, everything. And he said, doesn't matter, I don't have to define myself by where I came from, by what I've done up until now. Even at the age of 70 or 75, I can make a change, I can move to Israel, I can become a new person, I can connect to God. Whereas Bilam stayed stuck. Whoever he was, that's how he continued to be, even when he was shown such tremendous miracles. So this is a very important one. And then the last thing also we say, that we also shouldn't scrutinize God. This is the hardest one sometimes, and Hashem won't scrutinize us. Lohibit avein biyakov lohira amal biyisrael. When we don't look at the sins, in other words, the things that Hashem does wrong to us, which we all can find things that we are suffering with, and we say, why? You know, why did I have to have this happen to me? If we are able to forgive, then Hashem forgives us. And I heard a beautiful thing this week. I thought it was such a powerful verse. You know, in the Megillah Esther, one of the lines is that V'diber toiv al hamelech. It says, spoke well about the king. You know, it meant Achashverosh, but it was talking about Mordechai, how he spoke well about the king, and then he saved him and all that. But we know that when it says hamelech, it could also be referring to God. One of the messages is for us, that we should train ourselves to talk good about God. Now, a lot of times, I mean, some people never do this, but, you know, whatever, when we find ourselves in the challenge, in a difficult challenge, and we find it a little overwhelming, we might say to Hashem, like, oh my gosh, like, I mean, I know better, you know, you can run the world a little differently this time, it would help, especially the way my life is unfolding, or whatever this is unfolding, and we get a bit angry. I mean, it's normal, it's human nature. I mean, it's normal if we're suffering. But we have to be careful and catch ourselves and speak good about God. That's what it means. Have no kindness, so to speak, no complaints. Just be good. And that's actually a very powerful thing, because what happens is it reflects back and Hashem says, you don't speak negatively about me, I won't speak negatively about you. And we'll make peace, if you want to say. And it will be Shalom al Yisrael, as we say. So it'll be good. He will give us good. So that's even just this one verse in its many, many layers of depth that we can, it's incredible how it can, how much we can learn. Then the pasuk continues. If you look on page 296, the pasukim continue and it says, Kel Maitzia Mimitzrayim, Hashem who brought them out of Egypt. But you see the words, it says Maitziam. It doesn't say Haitziam in the past tense. Maitziam is present tense. Why? He already took us out so long ago from Egypt. What does it mean in the present tense? So this is a very famous thing that we have, this concept as Jews that we live. I know, we say Hashem took us out. We live with Pesach all year, right? Every year. It's coming again, right? Hashem took us out in the past, but it's present tense, eh? What did you say, Jackie?
It's the concept.
The concept.
Of being out of Egypt. It's not just the physical passage.
Okay. So what does that mean? What's the concept?
It's a bit the bondage that we bring the bondage, the bondage is. But with it, with freedom comes responsibility.
Ah, that's for sure. Yes.
With freedom comes responsibility. Yeah. And exactly what I think it all relates to what Dina's been trying to explain to us. And the responsibility is as well this when we talk about Hashem and when we talk about him, well, it's also our responsibility towards him. This is
That's right. It's interesting, Jackie, how you're saying it. I think it very much applies now, like right there you're saying also. I'm not saying this in a judgmental way. Please, nobody should take it wrong. No, I want to say it's interesting that nowadays, unfortunately, some people put themselves in this mold of, you know, there's like this victimhood. And as Jews, I think that's one thing that we can pat ourselves on the back, that we have never made ourselves victims. You know, unfortunately, and we have many chances that we could have, many opportunities, much unfortunately. As I share, I don't know if Shabbos, I know, I'm sorry, but just a fascinating thing that I heard this week. Anyway, just very quickly, this person was saying, there was an Iranian, and she had gotten out of Iran. She escaped. She ran from Iran, a Jew. She came to California. She actually came with nothing. They mamish had to leave with nothing. I know even Esther Hershowitz here, she actually went on a camel through the desert. I mean, they literally left with nothing, these people. She went to California. She's very successful. Anyways, and she was saying a very fascinating thing. She has a friend in Switzerland, obviously not a Jewish friend, and this person said, come for a visit. And you'll come and stay in my, whatever they call it there, their home. And it's been in my family for hundreds of years. And this friend in Switzerland, so she reflected and she hung up the phone. She says, which Jew nowadays can say that they have a home for hundreds of years? Nobody. So it's such an interesting thing. So we can put ourselves in that, but we don't. But we have to collectively, thank God we don't. Wherever we go, we make the best of the situation and we try and not only for ourselves, but we cause good for the people around us, which is the beauty and that's the godliness. And that's what we have to continue doing. But we have to remember individually not to fall into that trap as well and not to become victims, have that victim mentality. We have to know, as we're saying over here, again, the only way to do it is with the humility that Hashem is with. That's why it flows, as you're saying, Jackie. Hashem is with us. He doesn't see the we always have the power to change. and because he is constantly taking us out of our Egypt. The exile, the one time that we were taken out on Pesach, that's fine, but that gave birth to the ability for all of us to constantly leave Egypt. We are never in Egypt unless we put ourselves there. It's our mindset. So we are in Egypt, although interesting, but we can go out. That's the idea. We can always find freedom, and we have to constantly be leaving our Egypt. And as we say, it's constant also because as much as we grow, as that's another big thing as a Jew, that's the, it's an interesting dichotomy because we're an interesting people. We're not victims, but we're, but what? We're victorious, exactly. But are we ever really happy with what we have? Not really. But it's a good thing in some ways because we're always growing, right? We're always looking for more. That's the natural, because that's the godliness, actually. Because there is more. There's which what we should do is try to channel it not in the physical and the material, but more in the goodness that we can bring, and the mitzvahs, and the kindness, whatever it may be, obviously. But there's always growth. No matter how much we've grown, no matter how many Egypts we've left, we can still continue to leave Egypt. That's the point. Because, as we say always, the yesterday's leaving Egypt is today's Egypt for us, because today we also have to grow. So we have to continuously grow. Up until, as we say, Rona, you always say, even till, I'm always inspired. What is the last thing you said? You learned so many new things. Victorious and continuously learning. Unbelievable. Okay, so this is a life. This is what we do. Okay, so this is what we say also. Then it says, and then it continues on page 297, and he says, Kisai afais re'em lai. According, they translate it according to the intensity of his loftiness. But Re'im is also a, I have it here in your other sheets. I'm going to show you something very nice in your other sheets. If you go to the other booklet, and I'll tell you which number it is in a minute, something also so incredible how it just applies now, it is number 15 in your other booklet. We can also translate it differently. It's like a ox. We are like an ox. Well, it's interesting what's like an ox. If Hashem, obviously we can't compare Hashem to an ox, because Hashem doesn't compare to anything, but an ox is one of the strong animals. We know that the strongest animal that we always refer to is a lion. But in number 15, I'll just show you the Sfarnu, he says, and you see where it's starred there, he says, La'am Yisrael, we're comparing the Jewish people to an ox. She'enai tayref ve'eilech eichel ka'ari. We're not comparing him to a lion here, but to an ox. What's the difference? Because a lion, what does a lion do? A lion sees its prey, and it's beautiful when you watch. Maybe you've seen it actually in South Africa. I've never gone on any of these. The safaris, but I've seen beautiful, beautiful. I'm sure you wouldn't see this, but in the videos of people take of the magnificence of the lion and how they actually attack their prey. I mean, it's horrible in a way, but it's actually magnificent to see the nature, the way Hashem made it. But they do. So what do? They literally attack and they tear their prey. That's what lions do. What does an ox do? An ox butts with his, with the horns, which means, okay, so sometimes it does kill its prey that way. But it's a bit of a different way of doing it, because what it does first is it bends its head and butts. So that if the animal wants, it can sometimes run away. It has the opportunity more to run away first, if he's lucky. And if not, then he'll get butted by the ox. Why are we comparing the Jewish people to an ox, not a lion? So he says something very interesting. He says, Ki haisa hakavana ligare shaknanim, because we're talking about the Jewish people who are just soon going to enter the land of Israel. And as they say now, it's populated already. So what are we going to do with the population, right? Nebuch, on the population that's there. So at that time, there were seven nations living in the land of Israel. And Joshua, Yeshua, was going to be leading the Jewish people into the land of Israel. So what do we know? Our history tells us magnificently. And this is the way we've been acting all along, whether people want to, acknowledge it or not. So what happens? We say like this, that our intention was to kick them out. Tell them kindly to leave, find somewhere else to live. He says, "Ulahachnis es Yisrael la'aretz, bilti harigas yoshveha," not to kill its inhabitants, but to give them time to go. You can go peacefully and nicely. So, what happened in the time of Yehoshua? It says clearly, "Ka'amrei tigarish goyim vatita'eha." Send out the goyim, and then you will inherit. So he says, "Ki lechafetz b'mais hametz." Hashem doesn't want the death of all those people. V'chein amru zal, shalosh igros shalach Yeshua. Yeshua sent three letters because he gave them three chances. So you know, he says like this: one, haraitz lifnos yifne. Anybody who wants to leave peacefully, leave. Lahashlim yashlim, we'll pay you. We'll compensate you. No, 100% compensation. Buy something nicer somewhere else. But then, lasais milchama yase. You don't want? No problem. We'll come to war. We've given you the chance, but if you don't take the chance, then sorry, you have to face the consequences. The last chance is going to be war. And that's what happened. Haim hikshu, as we know, they were stubborn. And then we know that Yahushua did have to fight. So we have an interesting thing. It's like an ox, not a lion. That's why we're comparing. Very interesting. Just fascinating how it's, whatever, it all just still comes again and again. Okay, I just wanted to see. Oh, there was another beautiful one I didn't mention before about Kilayra Amal B'Yisrael. Just a quick one. He says that the Hashem, what he does is, oh, first of all, that we look at Amal is actually not only sin. Amal is also like a burden. So we say about the Jewish people that we don't have a burden. What does that mean, we don't carry a burden? Isn't life a burden sometimes? So we're talking about our spiritual life. I always say this is a very big message before Pesach. I always have to change my the way I talk. So for us, sometimes Pesach is like, oi, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a burden. So here he says, no, as a Jew, we don't look at the privilege of a mitzvah, of a yontif, as a burden. We look at it as a privilege. We look at it as an opportunity, which we know it is, but it's still sometimes hard, but it is. So we say no, but we have to, really the right way is that it shouldn't be a heavy burden. It should rather be looked at as something, what an opportunity that we have, that we can have another Pesach coming. Okay, I just want to see if there was anything else on the next one. Kelma, yeah, we said that one, that we leave Egypt. And before we go to the next one, time is going to go, but there's another beautiful idea in these, I want to see, okay, yeah, that's all for that. Now, I just want to go on now to the next pasuk. Let me go back to the pasukim and then, okay, so going back to the next pasuk, because I know we mentioned it, but this is a very big one. So after we talk about that Hashem took us out of Egypt, and he takes us out of Egypt constantly, then we mention in page 297, a very fascinating idea. We said, Ki loy nachash bi Yaakov, loy kesem bi Yisrael, that there is no divination in Yaakov and no sorcery in Israel, right? Which means that as a Jewish nation, you know, we don't believe, not only we don't believe, but putting aside belief, we don't use magicians. We don't use any of this type of spiritual forces that are not godly. That's a very big thing that we know. Even some people will say it doesn't exist, but in those times it definitely did exist. There was a power. Some people say that nowadays the power was taken away. There are some people that will say that in certain places in India and in Asia, they perhaps still do have some type of power. And as a Jew, we know that we are not permitted to ask them, read the palm, all this type of things. That's not a Jewish thing. We're not allowed, right? So that's simply what he's saying. And what Bilam is saying is, you know, you told me, Balak, the king, you told me to curse this nation because you know that I can use divination. But this nation is beyond divination. They don't use divination. Like, to them, they have a direct connection to God. They have the direct line. So no matter what type of occult forces, spiritual forces I'm going to want to use, it's not going to have an effect on them because they live on a higher sphere. They live with a higher connection. So that's just on a very simple level what he's saying. But he's saying something also to us. As it's all a message to us. It's a very big message. What he's saying to us is, you as a Jewish nation want to be blessed. We want to continuously be blessed. We want to continuously exist peacefully. We want to have a good life for ourselves, for our children. One of the things that we have to do is live with loy nachash b'Yaakov. We have to live without any type of divination. Now, we'll all say, but I don't go to, obviously, we're not going to palm readers. We're not reading our horoscopes. No, but it's much deeper than that. As a Jew, we have a higher standard than that. We have to live life in a very interesting perspective. And that's the perspective of Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Alekecha. Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Alekecha is a pasuk which says that we should walk simply, it says, simply with Hashem your God. What does simply mean? Of pure heart. What does that mean? It means that we have to live, and this is not an easy ask, we have to live with our attitude being that whatever happens to us is because Hashem decided that's what's going to happen. In other words, that we don't even try to outsmart it ourselves. Not only asking somebody else what our future will be, but we don't try to figure it out, which means two things. What does that mean, we don't try to figure it out? We have to live responsibly. So everybody has to look to the future. You know, you put away money for retirement, that's living responsibly. But at the same time that we live responsibly, we have to be very aware and very conscious, very, very aware that who really decides everything in our life? Only God. Whatever we're going to do makes actually no difference. It's up to God how things will actually pan out. We have to do what we have to do responsibly because Hashem wants us to live that way. That's how Hashem, you know, instructs a Jew. But on the flip side, we have to also realize that what? That Hashem runs the world. And that's what he means here. When he talks about using divination, we're not talking about hocus pocus. We're talking even about the normal expectations that people have. All the normal ways that people look to the future. As a Jew, we realize that we every step we take is in Hashem's hands. Now, what's the point of telling us this here? So Rashi says something, well, obviously it's a way of living our life, but Rashi says something very interesting because this is a very important message. He says also that what it teaches us, another thing that, so one thing is also, it says like this, like Nachash bi Yaakov, like Kesem bi Yisrael, and then it says, Ka'esie Amar li Yaakov, like this time, it will be said to Yaakov and Yisrael, Ma pa'al kel, what has Hashem wrought? What does that mean? What is he saying here? It means that other people will ask the Jews, what's the best way to go forward? Right? They all know. The best advisors, we somehow know. Why? That's on a simple level. Somehow Jews are quite intelligent and have a way of understanding and being good advisors. You know, even in the Middle Ages, the kings we know in the Middle Ages had Jewish advisors, even when they, whatever, when they were causing such suffering, right, as we know. But that's just on a simple level. But really what this means is that the Jewish people have a special connection to Hashem. And when we live our life with our consciousness and our awareness that Hashem runs our life, even it says that angels say to us, what does Hashem want? What does that mean? The angels recognize our uniqueness and our connection to Hashem. Why? Because it says like this. We mentioned before that Hashem taking us out of Egypt was in the present tense, which means that Hashem giving us the Torah is also in the present tense. And we all know, we've learned this, such a beautiful thing, that every time we sit down and we learn, whatever it is that we're learning in Torah, so it's not just we're learning something that was given 2,000 years ago, that's also true. But we know it's as if, and this is, it says actually in Shulchan Aruch, and it says in the Gemara, that when you learn Torah, it's as if you are sitting, like you know how you sit across from somebody at a table, you are sitting on one side, and God is sitting on the other side, and you're learning together. It's as if Hashem is literally teaching you the Torah at that moment. And it's anew, you know, it's something anew that you're getting, you're receiving from Hashem. It's like this chavrusa, you know, we have this partnership and this friendship, as we mentioned before, but we are getting. And that's why, because we have this special connection and we're aware of it, even the angels stand and say, wow, look at this nation that lives with God even in this world. That's why we're more special than even the angels recognize. The angels live in the higher realms, the spiritual realms. Over there, it's easy to serve God because nothing is blocking. But a Jew who lives in this world, and despite all the challenges and the darkness and everything that's facing us, we still, as we say, we still come and we still learn and we still get ready for Pesach and we still get ready for Purim. So then the angels say, such a nation who keeps their connection despite everything, this is a people that we have to ask them, what does God want? Now, also, it says, when will that really happen? That will really happen in the future. Because now we're living in exile and we don't see God in a revealed way and we don't exactly know Hashem's plan. I don't know. Sometimes I say we wish we did and sometimes we wish we didn't, right? But we don't know what Hashem plans. But nevertheless, when Mashiach will come, we say that because the Jewish people kept their connection, we will be on such a high level that everything in creation will be looking up to us. That's one way to explain it. The other way to explain it is also that when we're talking about us as a Jewish people, right, we say we don't ask, you know, magicians or palm readers. So how do we know what to do? What gives us our guidance? Because everybody wants to make plans for the future. What gives us our guidance? So in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you know, they had the beautiful Urim V'Tumim. Do you remember that the Kohen Gadol would wear the special thing, and it would light up the Chayshen and would give them all messages. They had that, and they had prophets. The prophets would give them messages from God. So of course they didn't have to go to any palm readers. They had their own built-in ones, right? They had clear messages from Hashem. But we don't have that now. So what do we do while we're in exile? We learn Torah. We follow, we have all the, and we believe very much that Hashem is still with us. And that if we want to do the right thing, Hashem will guide us in the right way. We will get the guidance somehow. And we know that if we live in tune, we do get the guidance. We do, we live in the right way. That's what happens. So we say a very beautiful thing. Why do we have to have these different explanations? So one of them is more for the future, and one is for the now, right? So for the now, this one that we just mentioned now, that as people look around and they see us, and we're talking about Bilam specifically. He's saying, I can't curse this nation. Why can't I curse this nation? So if you say I can't curse this nation because in the future, the angels will even look up to them, well, why can't I curse them now then? Okay, future not. So that's why we give another explanation. And we say, you know what? Even now, when they don't live in a revealed godliness world, and things are not just not revealed, but so hidden, and so dark, and so crooked, and so difficult, nevertheless, what do they choose to do? How do they choose to live their life? They choose to live their life following the light of Torah, right? That message, that gives us, first of all, it makes Bilam not be able to curse us, but it also gives us tremendous strength. And it makes us realize that no matter what the nations of the world want, whatever they want to plot, they will not be successful. If you look, I want to show you something really beautiful. Time is really running, and I'm just one more nice thing, but I want to show you something. If you look at, in your booklet, I didn't number it. There's an English, I think it's the last page. Let's see. It could be the last page of your booklet, of the second booklet, not the, yeah, the one with the guy. Show you something. Something really nice there. This is a pasuk in Tehillim, and it says like this. It's the last, I think, oh, second to last, right? Maybe second to last page, or third to last. Oh, I should have numbered it. Yeah, you know what, Jackie, that's the one. Hold that up, that one. Yeah, that one, that one. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, I want to show you something nice. If you look in this, it says like this. The Tehillim, it's chapter 2. It says, Lama rak shugayim ul umim yehegurik. Which means, if you look on the bottom, why do nations clamor and peoples speak empty words? And this is talking about the nations that clamor and want to harm us, right? They want to do terrible things to us. Unfortunately, we don't need to look into Tehillim. We have it the whole time. They clamor on the radio. They clamor on the whatever, right? There's nonstop. So what do we say? The Midrash compares those nations that have risen up to threaten Israel. This is how we have to view them. To the waves of the sea, which stand tall and threaten the shore, right? That's what they do. Right now, they're standing really tall. They're all there. They're overbearing. And they're standing with such confidence and such hatred. And they have so much negativity to say about us, right? But we have to remember that it's just like a wave. So the wave is standing there. But in the end, what do they do? What happens to the wave? It prostrates themselves before it. And like the waves, each nation knows the humble fate of its predecessor, yet they continue to rush forward with irrational confidence. It's mamish irrational, right? They keep on coming with more hatred and more hatred and more hatred. Even though if they look at history, they see who still exists, us. Who doesn't exist? All those nations that try to destroy us. Nimrod, as he says, it goes all the way. Nimrod rose against Avraham, but fell. Avimelech before Yitzchak. Esav and Yaakov. Egyptians before the Israelites. Amalek, Sichain, Oig, Bilam, Balak. The 31 kings before Moshe and Yeshua. Sancheiriv before Chizkiyahu. Haman before Mordechai. And in the future, Goig u'Magoig. That's what we have now. And we have to know that this is literally, it's just about to come crashing down. And who's still going to be there? Us. No question about it. Because it's not even a question. Because we're coming with the light of Hashem. Truthful, honest, the correct ones, doing the right thing. And here we have, that's what we say. So that's what David says. Why do nations clamor? And this is what we're saying now in our pasuk. This is what we're trying to tell us. That as a Jewish people, we should look at it with strength. Inner strength. Because outside it's not there. But inside, that Hashem is still with us. He still takes care of us. And he will always be with us. And it finishes, I'm just going to tell you orally, the end, he says that we are like a lion. It uses the word ka'ari, right? First it says a baby, like a, how do you say it, a baby lion, a cub, and then we become like lions. And Rashi says so beautifully, and this is something also that we have to remember, I think now more than ever, that we have to find the strength. How do we find the strength? So Terry gives us a beautiful thing. Rashi says, every morning, when we wake up in the morning, we say Maida Ani. We know the beautiful gift Hashem gives us. We thank Hashem for returning our neshama. And Shulchan Aruch begins. Shulchan Aruch, simple, the code of Jewish law, which tells us how we have to live our life, says, when a Jew wakes up in the morning, they should wake up like a lion. How do you wake up like a lion? Wait, the morning is so hard to wake up like a lion. But we're supposed, and what does this mean? We wake up with that inner strength ready to serve God and to know that whatever we're going to be facing, we have the strength of the lion. Because as we said, it's not our strength, it's Hashem's strength. And Hashem is with us. So we wake up like a lion, ready to get out of bed, jump up, get dressed, face the world, with positivity, with strength, and with incredible hope. And never, ever, ever give up. And that's what Shulchan Aruch tells us. And it's absolutely beautiful. Let's just read you very quick. It's on your last page, just that last line. It says, Yehuda ben Tema, I mean, this is a Mishnah. Yehuda ben Tema, Aimer, Yehuda ben Tema says, Heve oz kanamer be bold as a leopard, kal kanesher, light as an eagle, rutz katzvi, you know, how do we say it, run like a deer, and gibor ka'ari, strong like a lion, la'asayis ritzoyin avicha shebashamayim, to do the will of your Father in heaven, oz kanamer, what does that mean? Hu shaloi lehizbayish mipnei b'nei adam hamaligim. This is actually in Shulchan Aruch brought as the first thing in the morning, not to be embarrassed before the people who mock us. Now this can be, as nowadays, unfortunately, we are so bombarded with all the terrible hatred and mockery and scoffers, and we have to stand strong and not be a drop embarrassed. There's nothing, we have nothing to be ashamed of, but it also means on a personal level, people who look at you and say, why are you doing this? Why are you even trying? Why are you even bothering? Don't listen. You can make a difference. You can live your life with meaning and purpose every single day. That's what we have to wake up with, that strength. And as we say, what does that mean? Ari, what does it mean to be strong as a lion? Iker hagvura hu balev. Where is the main strength? In our heart. And that's what we have. We have a strong heart to what? To overcome our Yetzirah, to win it. And that's what we do to overcome all our enemies and to throw them down to the ground. But that comes, the external enemies are able to be overcome if we have strength inside. So every moment, starting from the morning, we wake up like that. And please, Hashem will give us strength to continue through our day, to be strong as a lion, as we say. And we shouldn't have any more enemies that we have to fight. As it says in the time of Mashiach, right, that the lion will live with the lamb, right? And emirtz Hashem, we will soon be witness to peace in the world, peace in our own lives, peace within ourselves. And that's all the prophecies of Bilam will come true. That's Amir Tz Hashem. Okay, we'll finish enough for today. Sorry.